Greetings in the name of the Most High. Yes. Ah, a song for my dead daughter, you know. Every once in a while I like to think about her. And it's so pertinent that, you know, it's hard for me to believe the stupidity of the world regarding the deep, dark secret of the world. And the fact that it's not even attributable to the actual spiritual reality that underlies this world, that it's just these people just want to abuse each other. And it's like, you fucking retard, man. How can you, I can't even go there. If it's at that level, we don't debate. You know what I mean? We just walk away, right? I've walked away from many many of these. Why do you believe Jesus when Jesus is a myth? How come you believe Jesus is real? You read the Bible, which is homophobic. You mean the part about sodomy and Sodom and Gomorrah and Paul telling people not to go there? Well, you know, this has been an age-old thing. My opinion is I don't really deal with that very much. That's not really something that I care. I mean, other people want me to deal with it. You know, my daughter was abused, and it took her life. But I mean, you know, and believe me, nobody could reach her. Nobody could reach her. The only thing I have left of her is the fact that I restored, at the behest of Larry and my partner in Crazed House and Trish and others, when we found that beat up print in the garage of Angel Tide. I didn't even think we had a print, actually. And there was Francesca, 4 years old, her whole life ahead of her. You know, I just never envisioned that there would be no future without her. It was not possible. And it was not possible that my movie would end up being, you know, semi-produced for my directorial debut, would be ruined and in the gutter and discarded and kicked and thrown and dirt piled on it and just might as well have just taken a knife and stabbed it to death. I mean, that's kind of the treatment that we got. And I just, you know, for curiosity's sake, I guess what happened when they saw the old print of the film on that stupid, you know, videotape, it didn't look that good. It sounded terrible, but there was enough of a drama there that really got people's attention. And they're like, well, maybe you should finish this. Everyone knows it wasn't finished. Everyone knows I didn't like it the way it happened. And everyone knows I got screwed by a whole bunch of people that, you know, that's why I learned how to do sound, how to be a music producer, a sound producer, because, and I can't believe how effortless it is for me to edit dialogue. I mean, it takes time and dedication and effort, and, you know, talent and all that, but when you start just doing the work, it's not that big a deal. You know, if you know what to look for, you know what to do, if you have chops and stuff. But, you know, I guess it was just hard to pay for it in Hollywood. They just wouldn't give you a decent mix. They just wouldn't give you a decent anything. You're just, unless you're a company man, unless you're owned and paid for by the studios, you're fucked. You're done. And the trauma just heaps on, you know. The more people there are around you in a city like LA, it can be a very cold place. You know, definitely a place of suicide. You know, and all you were trying to do was just live your truth. And man, oh man, it's like stirring up a hornet's nest. Well, you didn't ask permission to live your truth. You didn't go through the proper procedure of our approval or not. And I've actually seen people, very talented people, who were told by somebody with some, you know, moderate kind of, like, you know, slave rank, discourage people from becoming artists on his say-so. I don't think this is, you know, you don't have my permission to become an actor. You know, go back and toe the line. Go do Lego. They can watch you do Lego And they'll pay you. That's enough of an actor right there. That's as far as you're going to go. And, you know, the only reason they do that is to exercise their libido. Because that's a great source of masturbatory, you know, glee. Right? Ruining someone's life? Oh, man, yeah. That's, you know, staring somebody away from their dreams only to have them remember them 30 years later? Oh, delicious. Oh, boy, you can be, you know, fuck sex. This is way better than that. Way better than that. I mean, you know, let's really get into it. You know, if the boys don't toe the line in the family, we just go ahead and publicly ruin them, gang stalk them, and cause them to commit suicide so we can be the victims. So mom and dad can bask in the glory of they did everything they could. It's just so unfortunate and unlucky that they had rebellious children. Oh. And it, you know, the idea of justice here. So I do feel very fortunate in the sense that I was, after so much discouragement and gang stalking, and when people ask me, are you still gang stalked? Is there a, did you hear my testimony of the hospital? I mean, I don't know what more you want. That, but you know, it's a constant, and it's because I exist, because I breathe. As long as I breathe, there will be that element. As long as I exist, as long as I'm, have moments of happiness, it will attract, you know, the world as hater. The world is not a lover. You may have noticed. The trick is on the hatred is to find it's really the name of the game is blame. And this is something I really want to talk about. The word, get that into your consciousness. The word blame. Okay. Blame is the key to directing of hatred. Because you find, you know, the scapegoat to blame. Okay, you could blame Jesus, or you blame white people. Like, that's right, white, heteronormative, redneck, stupid white people, right? And so the plan is to, when the balloon goes up, is to take all the weapons from the FBI or whoever is going to be outfitting the city folks, and then out into the rural America they go, like the Bolsheviks, taking over the houses and killing families and getting rid of these, you know, they have to go a little longer to really ingrain it so that when, you know, killing white people has to be like a real thing, but then it's got to be more than that. It's got to be racial. It's got to be blacks versus whites. And you know, in other words, all of it is directed by blame. Blame is the key, because then it's like, we're the noble people and we're going to go kill the Jews. We're going to go kill the Jews and free Palestine because we're good people. Okay, so let Zeph translate for you. We are filled with hatred of this world. We are filled with hatred toward everybody. And leaders have funneled our hatred toward the Jews. So now we can go kill the Jews and feel great about it. And that's what happened with World War II. That's what happened with everything. The people felt good about killing Jews. Don't you understand? They felt good about going after, just like, we, you know, when a white guy gets carjacked by four black guys or whatever, you know, and people see that on a TikTok video. They cheer, yeah, man. It doesn't matter. Just taking the garbage out, you know, white people. So they steer that hatred, because otherwise they'd be shooting each other. You know, they'd be shooting anything and everything. You know, not racially, but just anybody and everything would be a target. Then I hate everybody because I am a worlder. My main breath is hatred. Okay, and then we can get even more controversial with it and question some of these groups that are designed to create blame. A great one would be I don't even want to go with the LGBTQ thing, because they have been so guilty of lying and they don't have the credibility for me to even comment on whatever they're going to do. If people fall for it, then that's, you know, they're gone. So who cares, you know, move on. I'm sorry it came to that. But the whole point of LGBTQ is they have to be a victim, number one. They have to have an enemy. And the enemy is, you know, transphobic, you know, people that are not using the proper pronouns. And they are filled with hatred. So we got to go get them and put them in jail, because we don't like hate speech. When the whole hatred comes from the group that doesn't feel accepted, so hate grows within them till they become nothing but hate, and then they call themselves love, and the other guy over here is hate. And that's how it's done, okay? That's how it's done. Communists, same thing. And whatever other group that's disaffected, you know, the communist thing is oppressed people unite to overthrow the evil people that have been able to make money and make a living. They don't deserve their houses. They don't deserve their dead. They don't deserve their children. We need to go kill them all, because we are filled with love. And they are so hateful that they leave us here in the streets and destitute. And it's their fault, not ours. We are noble. We're rising up for the noble cause. You know, to kill, to hurt, to hate. And we've institutionalized hate. So if anybody with a last name that sounds Jewish, with, you know, Stein or you know, whatever, all the other, what are some of these, you know, the names. So we see that on an application to university. We can easily nix them off so they can't get into Harvard. They can't get into Columbia. They can't get into any university, because they don't deserve to. Because look what they've done. They are responsible for everything. And so when you see, you know, and then it gets into online treatment of Jews, which is that Jews are fundamentally different species-wise. And so therefore they must be targeted and eliminated. Just, we want to do what happened in the massacre on October 7th. We want to do that across the board, because we're filled with love. Don't you understand? It'd make the world a loving place. Once we get rid of the enemy, white people, Jews, and whoever else, homophobes, transphobes, you know, anti-globalists, anti-climate change people, all that, all those kind of retards, you know, anti-vaccine, any of these groups. Once we get rid of them, we have kumbaya, we have a beautiful world here. We have John Lennon's song, Imagine, on all the speakers. And what I'm here to say, and how I'm contributing to this conversation, is I'm saying, hold up, everybody. Don't you see that it's like a mind control direction of hatred? In other words, hatred is fomented and ginned up with stories of victimhood and stories of, you know, what evil Jews will do and how they eat children and they do this, they do that, or whatever it is. And then it gets up to a fever pitch, and then they direct it outwardly. So the group feels not only vindicated, but like they've been victims and they're going to rise up and, you know, do the right thing for the world out of love and out of self-sacrifice and out of equanimity and out of beauty and out of, just look how beautiful these people are in these various groups, all of which have been funneled into aiming the hatred at a certain few people so that they can justify their existence as beautiful, as lovely, as loving, when in actuality, you know, you had a lot of German citizens who were loving putting the Jews to death. It made them feel good. They were finally getting rid of the scourge of humanity that had been, you know, corrupting the banking system and taking money out of their pockets, taking food off their tables. So when the government, like the U.S., that's a kleptocratic system, takes everything from you, they must direct you to an enemy that's not them and then orchestrate the Civil War, which is based on hatred. You couldn't do it unless, see, so my theory, no one can debate this, so it's, and they don't want to. My theory is that all these groups are really the source of hate in our society because they have been, you know, conditioned like Pavlov's dog, you know, to, they see, I've seen even like white people that say they're liberal, and of course, liberal conservative, those are ridiculous titles. You know, it's they don't hold up at all. But anyway, they from their university, once they get out of class, they go, "Oh, I had to see these white people get a hamburger. I can't believe it. I want to call the police on them." You know, one of them had a MAGA hat on. And you know, let's say that the people having another hamburger were, you know, conservative Trump supporters. They were, maybe they're from a baseball team or something. Who knows? Maybe they're a combination of white and black, probably. But that doesn't matter, because now it's political hate. So they go in there to have their burger. The other guy goes in, freaks out because he's surrounded with MAGA people and it's so traumatizing. He goes to the press to complain and he's having a nervous breakdown because of the presence of these people. And don't, therefore, ergo sum, aim the blame. Don't we need to get rid of these oppressors so that we can have our burger or whatever, our tofu, whatever it is, in peace? And not be plagued with the presence of these bigots. I can't go on with my life unless something's done. I want to shut down this McDonald's now. Where's the fire alarm? I want to alert the world that there's white people here just wearing MAGA hats and ordering burgers. I just can't take it anymore. And something's got to be done. Please walk me home. And please make me some soup or something. I'm really losing my mind because of this. You know, why hasn't the government done something about it? Let's say it's, I could go on and on, but anyway, the whole problem with groups is that the government controls all the groups. When I say government, I say world government, you know. The United States government is actually running all the countries now. So there are no governments of Germany, of France, of anywhere else. So, you know, the government is an expert at psyops, fomenting, creating hatred, and then aiming the blame. And that's how the CIA has overthrown many a country. Same technique. Create a group of victims, create the problem. It's these oppressors over here that happen to be, let's say they're white. Let's say they're, or let's do it another way. Let's say they have more money. They have a job that pays them a salary. My God, they're oppressing. They're taking food off your table that could go to feed your family. You're out homeless while they're living in mansions. It's not fair. So create the victim. Foment the hate, build it up. So there's random killing. Own the law, the apparatus of law enforcement, so that people that when they start killing these people that have money, let's say, they get off, they get to go back into the population. So create a lopsided situation where joining the victims is advantageous because you get free EBT cards, you get free this, that, you get all this stuff. And as long as you can hate this group, but the government doesn't hate, say, white people. What it is the people here, when they say white people, what they mean is people that are here in Wisconsin, useless eaters is what they mean. So they want to use the underclasses, those that feel like victims, which are created by the same government, to go after these useless eaters for the good of and fairness of all people. We are love. And when we kill these people and throw their bodies in dumpsters, we are doing the world a service. We are beautiful in the eyes of God. We are justified because they've literally taken everything from us. And the government has sponsored us, so they're not to blame. They're not to blame. They're just helping us to get justice. No justice, no peace. And they've done this to black people. They've done this to the communist, socialist people that are disaffected. The class system, they've done this over and over, but it's the government that does it all. The government actually controls both sides. They control the victims and they control the targets. And they're the ones who dictate which ones to go after. And they're the ones that will arm any real insurrection is a government-sponsored insurrection. So basically that's the way it works. And as you can see, if that made sense to you, then you understand the way the world has worked from the very beginning. It's deception because, see, it's one-off, what I like to call one-off deception. It's not direct deception. It's focus of blame, for the purpose of personal empowerment and to feel and to create the myth that the people that are going after the people who have lived, let's say, peacefully and have a farm or whatever it is, that in so doing is an act of love. And what the people are doing that have these farms is an act of hatred because they haven't taken care of their brothers and sisters who are in the gutter. Therefore, they're the enemy and they must be killed. And so hatred. Okay, so which one is the hater? Which one is the abuser? Always it's the victim, whoever the victim class is, which is basically wouldn't even be there if it weren't for the government to create it in the first place. Do we have this understood? So, and Hollywood is no, people complain about Hollywood. Yes, lots of things. When we complain about, Hollywood and the corruption of entertainment, nepotism, and, all the rest of it, the conversation we're having with ourselves is all lies. I just saw this film, series. I was fascinated by it. What was the name of that again? Baby Reindeer. Yeah. Baby Reindeer is a must see for anybody that's been abused. You got to see it. No matter what side of the fence you fall on, it's required viewing. It's some of it's really tough. Some of it's triggering, and I got to warn you that maybe they warn you about triggers coming up, which is basically a man raping another man, and you know, changes his life, and he puts himself in the role of a victim, and then it's only when he finally confesses everything that's happened, you know, everything that happened to him, you know, that finally he feels liberation, which of course is a lie. So the series actually, I don't think that the person that wrote this and acted in it knew they were lying. I think they're telling themselves lies to make things work out. But there are some very curious things that happen in it. And one would be that he hooks up with this guy that's a big producer and writer in the television business in the UK. And then the guy is just basically there to seduce him. And we all know what this is, but I'm going to have to explain the movie here, because unfortunately they didn't. They kept flashing a number on the screen, though. If you've been abused, call this number and talk about it with these people. So don't carry it alone. And probably, you know, and he made the assertion or the premise that because he was raped and he indulged in those acts, that he was changed into being, say, bisexual by experience. And justifying it and, you know, trying to work his life out and whatever. And so in the end, he goes back to the abuser who raped him, gave him lots of drugs and raped him. And he allowed it to happen because he thought he's going to be a big star. He's going to be famous. So he allowed it to happen. And when he goes back to the abuser a second time, and the guy goes, well, it won't be like it was before. And I'm like, duh. And he goes, I want you to work with me. You could go far. And so the cycle begins again. And, you know, and basically it we're getting now toward the end of the series. And it starts off about a guy who's stalked by somebody that used to be a lawyer, used to be prominent, used to be successful, and now she's destitute and she's now stalking him. And it brings him into this whole, you know, kind of collision course with himself and abuse. And the things wrong with it, I could enumerate. When I say wrong, I mean untrue. There's a lot of mistruth. That you could say, well, maybe this is this guy's journey. This is personal truth. This is where he's at now. But as far as ultimate truth, there is no ultimate truth. So for those of you who've seen it, the abuser guy, the successful, famous guy, he's basically looking for a virgin. I mean, I hate to even have to point this out. They should have done this in the movie. This is why you people go, oh, this is so great, and it's great dialogue, great this, that. You know, it may be good in the scenes, but the overall truth of it is that, you know, we have to explain this. So the guy is looking for a virgin to initiate, and he's chosen this young man. And, you know, he's going to have his way with him. And he's giving him drugs that cut, like almost like Rohypnol, you know, like date rape drug, to try to get him vulnerable so he can sodomize him. So that's the idea. And the reason why is because it's also an initiation. And I know that there's not any talk about spirit, demons, God, devil, none of that. That's bereft of any kind of spiritual truth. So, you know, because if you understood secret societies, mystery schools, Golden Dawn and all these things, you would understand the importance of sodomy as a initiating ritual. It's a big deal. You know, the person that causes the, you know, or rapes the young man that they're seducing ends up with a lot of power, gets a lot of big boom, bam, bam. You know, it's a power trip. And the implied message is, now if you, Sonny Boy, who I just raped, want power, you want to be like me, then you're going to have to go find your own virgin and do what I did to you. And that's where they couldn't go. But I know this from having been around this whole world, and I understand what really happened there, and you can't hide it. It was there in the screenplay. You can't hide it. It's right, but they don't explain it to you. So most people would think, oh, how brave a guy, he went and confessed all his abuse issues. And I like it. I like that. It helps me with having a controversial documentary that we're trying to put out there that talks about abuse as institutionalized within high society that demands that kind of treatment of all the boys, not just one or two here or there, all. And everyone's too ashamed to come forth with it, and everyone else is covering it up, and everyone's lying about it. Okay? The funny thing is, well, here's the gay community. And then you look at all of Los Angeles and go, well, who isn't? Answer, none. Because it's forced on them. It's an initiation. Where does it get you? It's the key to the kingdom. So long as you also, then once initiated, you go on the hunt yourself. It's all very hush-hush and behind closed doors, isn't it? So this happened, and the guy didn't say what it was. So I thought I would do the world a service and tell you what you don't want to hear and what really happened in that movie. And that I think this young man who obviously is very talented and all that, but who has his slot in the entertainment world, no question. I was happy to see that people are identifying abuse with future behavior. Like if I get raped, I could go out and just want nothing but rough sex and to rape everything I see. You know what I mean? So that abuse influences future behavior. That's a big step. Because, you know, in the gay community, they work so hard to make, you know, nature and nurture separate, in the sense that, you know, I was born this way. This nobody did anything to me. This is just the way I am. You know what I mean? Where I don't know anybody that actually fits that bill, except liars who want to fantasize in their head about, you know, make the world into a fucking Disneyland that they can play around and dress up and do their little, you know, kabuki dance. But the bottom line at the end of the dance is, you know, just like the Diddy thing, you know, the Justin Bieber and Diddy. Okay. Well, obviously it was a similar setup as Baby Reindeer. You know, after that, there was fame and fortune. And yet Bieber says that he gave up a lot more than his soul. It ruined him. But make no mistake, what went on in this Baby Reindeer thing was classic initiation, done every day all over the planet. This is just the fact that you could find somebody like this. You're not going to let him, if you're one of these guys, you're not going to let him go. You know, and even if it doesn't work out night number one, you'll try night number two with a different cocktail of drugs just to try to get, to have your way with him. Because once the deed is done, it doesn't matter whether he's out of it, whether he gave permission, whether he didn't. Once the deed is done, it's done. That's it. His life is changed. It is true. That is one of the truths, that his life has changed, but not for the reasons he thinks. And there was a lack of understanding that he was shocked to find his father was abused by priests in the Catholic Church. It's like he's pretty naive. He doesn't really understand. This is the world system. The Nazis were all about this. You know what I mean? But every group is that wants power. There's great power in institutional sodomizing of virgins, you know, virgin boys, and then bringing them up like daddy, and then acting tough. It's really, he said he got this tough outer skin. He went and threw himself in a bunch of dangerous sex and this and that, so he couldn't be intimate with the one he really loved, which was a trans woman. And he couldn't settle down with her and give her what she wanted. So they broke up, and it's all the fault of this abuser. That would have been the love of his life. And of course, to me, that's a red herring, but that's fine. It's you know, basically what Netflix is doing with producing this series is they know they can't stay on, you know, we're just, this is the way it is, and you're being a bigot, not accepting us, and you, you know, being heteronormative. You know, there was a big insult. They go, oh, these heteronormative asshole idiots. You know, they don't know anything. So there's this pejorative looking down on people. Oh, that cisgender fool. Oh, my God. I mean, look at this heathen. He doesn't know anything. You can't let him in here. I mean, you know, no cornholio, no entry. You know what I mean? No initiation, no entry. No initiation into the spiritual dimension. And then the guy gave it away. The famous guy that basically hunted and sodomized the hero. He basically, he said, the only people that get into this house are like gurus, spiritual leaders, and they're the ones that he has as guests. Okay, so the world can play its games with itself, basically play with itself, convincing itself that they're not fools. They're the smart people, and anybody who doesn't agree with them, they're the fools. And that kind of ethos or mentality comes when you're wrong. And you know you're wrong. So you insult the other side, i.e. the uninitiated. Or those you think are uninitiated. Hard to find the uninitiated. I mean, this guy, he wasn't going to let go of this young man. I forget his name. I forget all the characters. I forget everybody in it. I just, very forgettable series. But because they kept pushing ideology, you know, and they kept pushing, I don't know. They're now pushing that gay people and trans people need to come out and admit their abuse. And that it was all wrong, but now they're changed and they can't go back, or something to that effect. You know, that's a lot of focus on your libido, don't you think? All day long, you look through, you know, Tinder and all these different places, and you know, to find a lover. All day long, looking for a fuck buddy, all day long, all day long, all day long, and then finally trying to enact it at night. That's like 24 hours a day. What about your, you know, what you're passionate about? What about your career? Well, no, it just takes over. And what's everybody looking for? Well, the guys who are successful, they're looking for those virgins. You know, and they become sometimes the mentor of those virgins. know, step one is the initiation. Step two is the labor and also training. So, and you say, well, that sounds so weird. That's just like the gay community. No, no, that's the world. That's the way the entire world is. Everybody knows that. And it's only small pockets of the Amish or those, you know, the pure hearts out there that don't know that. Now, unfortunately, I lost my pure heart in this one, you know, seeing all this shit. Because at the end of the day, what's it all used for? Personal power, selfishness, hatred. I hate myself, so I'm gonna take the innocence of that one over there and boost myself so I can start loving myself. But no matter how many times I'm depraved and do some depraved act, I don't go higher, I go lower. I better have the Dalai Lama over tonight for dinner. You know? And it's just an amazing, it's an amazing dance of deception. Why doesn't anyone know that this is the system? Well, they all do know. Okay, so why don't they talk about it? Because they're afraid of getting whacked. So they don't talk about it. Or they talk about it like this guy. There's no such thing as Satanism, right? There's all this satanic panic. Oh, satanic panic. And, you know, there's no proof of any of this satanic ritual abuse. It doesn't exist. You know, people just have sex. That's it. No, that's not it. Anyone will tell you, having been through that experience, that it opens a different dimension and they are ruled by entities they may not be able to see, but they understand it's real. I mean, you have to be a fool not to see it's real. An absolute, I don't know, you'd have to be, well, you'd be dangerously unaware. You'd be a threat to them, actually. They might just kill you because, you know, you deny the, you know, deep down, we all know it's spiritual. Don't you, Joe?
There's no such thing. It's a panic, satanic panic of the 80s have proven to all be your hoax. You know, people are just the way they are and they have sex. That's all it is. There's no big deal. All right, Joe, really?
You don't bow down to your superiors?
No, and that's the other thing.
What's that?
Grapes.
Oh yeah. That the, you know, when you're in these little clubs, there are hierarchies that must be minded. That's how they keep cities from going into chaos, right? They have a hierarchy that tells you what to do. Well, you can't be an independent artist. I didn't give you permission. And I'm above you in society, so you need to listen to me or I'll have your life ruined. Where did you get that idea? Well, you gotta be in the chain of fools. We may be all be fools, but we run the world. So don't feel so bad. You know, I've had to, and I see there's some attempt being made to, you know, understand this young man himself and understand the world around him, but it just falls short. That's all. It's just, it's not luminous. It doesn't, you know, there's no inclusion. And have you noticed, and when I say inclusion, I mean on both sides, on, you know, people that are gay or straight, there are two sides there. So, and the funny thing is the straight side's all been through the same thing, but there's hatred because of the lack of acceptance of the way things are. How dare you rebel against the time-honored system? Thousands of years we've run kingdoms and Rome and Genghis Khan and warlords, and you come along and you disagree. Who are you to disagree with the way it is worldwide, everywhere, without exception? I'd love to hear some dialogue that says, well, 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 what game are we playing now? You know, maybe if you rape me and, and shame me, and remember, guilt and shame is what perpetuates the whole thing, because that's what keeps the lid on it. And that's why people, you know, it's as far from coming out into the public as it ever was. It's never going to come out in the public. Well, I'm in grape here. It's never going to be public. The truth is never going to come out. Netflix will never show you the truth. And the reason why is because, well, they don't want everyone bummed out at this world and dysfunctional. They got to take your tax dollars away. You know, they got to take any hope of owning a home away. They got to take any hope of having a calm, peaceful business taken away. They can't have you having the ability to travel around the world like a rich person. They're not going to let you off your chain unless you start playing ball. You know, you could start by offering up your firstborn. Oh, yes. Remember the gay song by Mott the Hoople? All the young dudes carry the news. And at one point he goes, but we can love. Oh, yes. You know what I mean? It's the system. And he's talking about all the young dudes. You know, he's talking about everybody. He's talking about the whole world. And making it into this kind of playful song that nobody would ever suspect he's really saying that. So, and what's the point? What's my point? Well, my point is, I don't like being lied to. I don't like being, people attacking for ignorant reasons. So if you want to attack because you don't like the truth, if you attack me now, it's because you hate the truth and you're filled with hate. Go ahead. Expose thyself to the world for who you really are. Well, what would bring peace? Well, this shit is not going to stop, like I said, so there's not going to be peace. Listen, you can forget about peace. There is no peace. Even Jesus said, you think I came to bring peace, but I didn't. I came to bring a division. That division has been brought here, and it will stay. There will be no peace. There's going to be a lot more pain going forward to the point where a lot of people won't be able to handle it. The people that believe they're going to be inheriting the properties of these useless eaters and the getting rid of the white bigots and all the Trump people and all that, once they're conquered, we're going to have a lovely world. They're never going to give you a dime. They're never going to give you any place to live. You're not going to have some system that you live by. You're going to be on basically begging for bread and rags and destitute and shivering and starving. That's where this is headed. It's heading to human degradation. And at that point, will there be anyone who would look beyond this planet? You see, the problem I have with that movie, I mean, I enjoyed the comedy of it, you know, and to me, the greatest comedy was that was the rape scene, because it was so self-conscious that it, I guess I'm have a sick sense of humor, because the, you know, the stalking didn't bother me. The obese woman didn't bother me. The guy's journey and finding out that he was really a screenwriter, trying to get somewhere with his life, and so he appeased this one of the oligarchs, one of the famous people, to try to get a break. It fell for the seduction, and then the fact they met up again. When they met up again, when he went to the abuser with the idea that they'd be working together again, he goes, "Oh, it won't be." He didn't apologize for raping him. He goes, "Well, it won't be like it was before." And it's like the guy's nodding his head, like, "Oh." And we saw Orlando Bloom in a story like this, and I forget the name of it. It was brilliant. Now that guy's a brilliant actor, but it was amazing. And it was basically about him being abused and finally confronting his abuser, and the guy dies in the end. The guy commits suicide because he couldn't take being confronted. And finally the truth came out. Abuse is a terrible thing because it's, you know, like my daughter, it caused her this very abuse we're talking about, this kind of stuff, is what drove her to jump off a bridge in Tuscany and kill herself. You like that? Think that's funny? You think? And what kind of sex was it? It was basically pedophilia sex. And that was going on, I think, the whole time she was having inappropriate relationships or relationships that brought pain. Because she wanted pain. And she wanted things to be normal and just have love. But the world would not afford her just having love once she's been initiated, which she was. And the fact that she's not a cooperative participant, which she wasn't, can lead to things like suicide. Well, it's her fault. She's the hater. Plenty of people out there wanted to love her. You just keep telling yourself that, world, because one day there will be a reckoning. Not now. Things haven't gotten bad enough yet. Yeah. You've got half the kids in the United States wanting Hamas to murder every Jew. You've got the entire judiciary of the United States of America wanting to murder Donald J. Trump. Yeah. They don't want him in jail. The whole point of jail, the whole point of stripping him of Secret Service or bodyguards in jail is so he can be killed. That's the point of the whole damn thing, to kill him. How dare he go against the grain? How dare he be an individual? How dare he say what he thought? Look, I don't care whether you're farming it. I've got plenty of problems with him too. But the idea that I'm not going to just stand by and let them just go kill the guy and not say anything. And anyone who does look the other way, I predict that their future will be so painful they wish they were dead too. There will be a curse on the people that wanted him dead, because this is a God thing at this point. And there is a God, a conscious being God. Yeah.
Well, what do you think about Jesus? Paul saying no sodomy. I mean, that's kind of mean. And no comment. You can't address stupidity. You can't fix stupid.
people say things like that. You can't fix stupid. The point is, what I tell them is this. You people, you witches, you're all attacking Jesus. Anyone that's connected to Jesus, you got this like view of this white guy who's like a Ku Klux Klan or some kind of thing like that, and you don't understand. Go back to the teachings and to the life of Jesus, just the life. Did he do lectures about sexuality other than the woman at the well? Because she had like five husbands. And she was lying and saying she didn't. She had one husband. She had five husbands. But when they're ready to stone the adulteress, they said, let he who has sin cast the first stone. Now, this is a beautiful guy. This is what we should aspire to. This is an amazing thing. Let him who has sin cast the first stone. And he protected her. And he's gone way further to bring love to everything. The other side's never brought any love at all. What they call love is pure hatred. He's brought love. How? Forgiveness, redemption. People carrying a heavy burden of sin. They know they was not right to murder that guy. They know it wasn't right to fornicate all over the place and have maybe children out of wedlock and not even know who they are. It's probably carrying a big burden, lying to the grand jury, and lying to people, in general, so they see you as something you're not. That you just want to come clean at some point. You want to be washed clean. You just can't carry it anymore. All the lies, the silence, and the secret, tisk tisk in the background with all the Jezebel women trying to get you to even go further. I understand that most men are weak and they can't handle this. The women, on the other hand, are not weak. They're ready to go. I'm not saying all women are evil. I'm just saying there's a female aspect that is anti-Christ or whatever. And it's kind of like the Led Zeppelin lyric. You go, soul of a woman was created below. Dad, I've been dazed and confused. Yeah. Well, it's, the myth of Lilith. And that whole thing, And so it's like, well, but a God-fearing woman, well, a God-fearing man, a man unchecked will fall for all of this shit. And it would surprise you. I mean, probably my own bias is I had a Jezebel multi-personality, MK Ultra mother who went to Hollywood High School with Mickey Rooney and was around with Judy Garland and all that. So, I see a little bit different perspective, but I mean, controlling people, and if they don't do what you want, ruining their lives. Oh yeah. That was all a big part of it. You need to get permission, from the women sewing the armholes, remember in the Bible, in order to be a politician, in order to be a musician, in order to be celebrated. There's 100 guys more talented than you out there on drums or guitars or singer-songwriters. But they chose you for a reason, because there's a reason that is almost astrological how people get chosen for things. I don't want to go into that right now. But there's nothing happens without a reason. And nothing happens that's a coincidence. So yeah, I mean, and those people are expected to go through their initiation and not complain. You take it up the ass. How bad can it be? Once, twice, whatever. maybe a gangbang with, you know, 12 guys humping your ass as they all go back to their children and their golf clubs and their Republican politics. Oh, yeah, people say, oh, Republicans are all bigots. And I think the biggest amount of people that practice this kind of, you know, sex, if you will, are Republicans. I believe conservatives are more involved in, you know, secret anal sex and porno.
Meme yesterday, it had three people sitting on a bench and from the back, shown from the back.
Yeah.
One was labeled a Democrat. One guy.
Yeah.
And the other guy was labeled a rhino. And then in the middle was a woman, conservative. She's leaning on the rhino. And the Democrat was fondling.
Which one?
Shit, I can't remember if it was fondling the woman or the man, the rhino.
Well,
it was really kind of stark, like, yeah, the rhinos don't do anybody any good.
No, people are into mind control, left versus right, and conservative versus, I mean, I'm completely radical when it comes to talk radio. I'm more radical than any leftist that ever lived. The things that I have exposed here, since they've been true. You know, we blow the lid off it every other day, but it doesn't mean that the world's going to embrace it. No siree. But, you know, it's well known that at places like Bohemian Grove, for example, which was kind of interesting, the whole history of that, you know, with the, William Keith, the artist, and, he was one of the founders, and it was his idea to go to the Sonoma Woods. You know, because he was into all that. He was what you call an occultist.
Great, great.
They called him the mystic.
Great, great, great grandfather.
No. Not grandfather, but maybe uncle to my grandfather, or something like that. The Keiths were all related. They're all in Berkeley. And I hate to denigrate my grandfather's name, but his name is shit. Because he was a liar. Because his public image was completely manufactured. This was a ruthless, warmongering fool.
But at least he repented.
You know, he repented. But I mean, you know, he was... he was a real racist, really an elitist, and it's like, God, where did you came from, like, poverty, and then you act like the biggest snob there is. I don't get it, you know, but he had his hands in every pie in California, and everything, you know, Boeing, Northrop, military industrial complex, Eisenhower, Nixon, Reagan, all this crap. You know, good friends with Bob Hope and all those people.
Disney.
Down in Palm Desert, Disney, the whole bit. Yeah, he was he was into all of it. And his opinion was that anybody that doesn't like it should be killed. Anybody that's who's got to question the integrity of Disney should be killed. Anyone who's going to question my integrity should be killed. Anyone who's going to complain about our system, I mean, our satanic system, our Freemasonry system, should be killed.
Yeah.
And that's basically what we had to grow up with that kind of, then finally, he wrote me a letter telling me to change my name, and I finally did. I was like, you know, fuck you. And you know, all your charity given was just to buy accolades from people that you were a great guy. And I'm sorry it went like that, but you know, these were ruthless people that came down to Los Angeles from San Francisco, and they were going to make it big. And they did. And to them in those days, that meant the right country club and the right affiliation and the right politics and the right this and the right that and the right whatever. And if any of the kids disagree, they should be killed. They should be removed. They should be mental hospitaled. They should be eliminated. And you know, at the end of the day, you just say, where do you get off on that kind of attitude toward people? They either fall in line or they should be killed. I mean, this is, you know, basically early authoritarianism and abuse. But, you know, the guys in power are doing it today. They're not doing it from LA. They're not doing it from Silicon Valley. But it's the same thing. They always go totalitarian. And they dictate the rules. And if you say anything about Maui, well, you should be, you know, your life should be ruined. If, right? You remember Maui, don't you? What a horrible thing that is. You know, the people in Maui now that are going for justice are the people that burn it down. And they're now trying to help the little people.
Yeah, sure.
Right? They want to help now. I mean, Oprah brought down some blankets and some pillows. Anyway, Oprah, all these people, same thing. Same thing as what I grew up with. It's like, we, you know, the only thing that got me to be on the road to healing from all this, including what my daughter suffered, which was basically suicide. The only thing that got me to survive was God, was Jesus. That was when everyone abandoned me, when all the Satanists were fly-by-night friends, you know what I mean? Fair-weather friends. You know, guess who? And I was broken. And I felt broken from the betrayal of friends who turned into gang stalkers. Surveillance. Putting us on a closed-circuit TV. Following us, you know, threatening to kidnap us, destroy us, whatever. Friend, people that we trusted, people we had to parties, people we you know, took part in their kids, whatever. And these people turned. And we did nothing wrong. We didn't do anything wrong. And then they're like, well, that's the problem. You're not showing your allegiance enough to us or whatever. You know, they wanted us to be initiated. And any lack of initiation would bring murder. Oh, how they enjoyed it when Francesca died. Oh, they just loved it. That'll show them. That'll show them. Good. He's in the hospital. Good. Hope he dies a horrible death. And you could just feel that vibe, you know, of the people that are opposed to the Lord. But when the Lord, you know, talked to me, when I understood that's all I had, you know, all those people abandoned us. Nobody would talk to us. No one gave a shit about us at all. The only thing I had left was death or the Lord. They said, well, you should die then. You should die because, you know, and do everyone a favor. And I'm like, that's wrong. You know, it wouldn't do anyone a favor. That kind of thinking is Only corrupt people and stupid people think like that. And so, no, we're not going to go ahead and die for your convenience. Oh, you'll feel better. Because everybody that dies, do they feel better? Oh, for maybe 30 seconds. Then it's right back to the same self-loathing grind. And so they asked me, well, then what is the answer? Well, the answer to what, to anything on earth? It's to go to the source. So that would be Jesus. The Alpha and the Omega. Ever heard of that? The first and last. The micro equals the macro, quantum physics. The space in between the spaces of all created things. The true source of consciousness. I mean, you, whatever you want to say, you know, I make all things new. I create. I also destroy. I make man in my own image because man will be the tabernacle of God at some point. You know, all these things are clues that someone loves you and that you have a home and someone actually cares. Humans may not always be able to care. Even godly people, you know, can't care about everybody, can't save everybody. But it's really that and that agape love and that unconditional love versus you're on your own, fend for yourself, every man for himself. Every man for himself equals the death of all men in the end. So it just isn't, you know, I'm sorry that I win this debate every time, but it's really, in a sense, because I know the other side so well. You know, there's nothing you can say or do that would surprise me. Well, maybe there would be. I don't want to find out. But, you know, I pretty much know the system. And I wonder, like, if a filmmaker like this baby reindeer guy would have actually told the truth, what would that be like? And the answer is, well, Netflix would never, ever produce that. Ever. So that's the answer there. So in order to produce it, it had to be, you know, it had to be what it was. And to me, that's, art is supposed to reveal the shit in our society, and the truth can be very hard to take, but it can clean things up and to allow people to see crystal clear what the objective is of each of our lives on earth. Wouldn't you like to know what the purpose is? What you go, why am I here? Well, obviously, you know, here to derive pleasure from all things and then, you know, then die. No, not really. But God provides pleasures. I didn't provide it. A Big Bang didn't provide it. I saw this, another film, I think it was called The Devil Below, about creatures that were in this underground. And, you know, they were saying the Big Bang Theory is pure science. And then the other guy was saying, no, it might not be science. It might be a combination of science and what God is saying. And they were having this debate for a while. I found that to be very interesting. What person wouldn't want to think about the origin of reality? What person wouldn't want to think about the nature of his own existence and what the purpose would be or why he exists? What person has not asked those questions? The world has no answer. They just say, you know, conform and cooperate. But that's not good enough. People, I saw there was this like guru that's available that, frees all your frees you to have tremendous success. And you know, if you just send them money and stuff, and they're out in droves right now. The world's gonna fall for all these false prophets. The world's gonna fall for all these false gurus and teachers. The world's gonna fall for this fake prosperity doctrine. They're gonna fall for all of it. And they already have. And consider yourselves fortunate. You don't have to go through that rude awakening. You've already been through the rude awakening. You've already been persecuted for no good reason. You've already been treated unfairly. You've already felt like you've had no, you've really felt like a victim with no way to get sympathy from anyone. In fact, when something happens to you, it's your fault. Remember that. It's always your fault. Unless you're in their system. And their system is based on, shall we just say, initiation hierarchy, controlled by, you know, others, non-human intelligence, whatever, that dictates who does what. And who does what is based on how much you can be a benefit to them, which is what? Turning all beings away from God. That would get you numero uno on the scale of doing things. You'd be numero uno then. So I'm not going to belabor it, but just, yeah, I guess I have for an hour and 20 minutes. But at this point, I'll just say it was really good to have, to be working on this restoration of Angel's Tide and to see Francesca preserved, you know, and maybe on that level, it was kind of healing for me. But really, the other thing was just, there's no reason that I should have been just left in the dust and, you know, my stuff thrown out, my negatives thrown out, my hopes, my dreams, everything just thrown to the wind. I didn't do anything to anybody. It didn't hurt anyone. Just trying to make my own mark, do my own film. And you know, we weren't asking the studios for money at that time. I mean, you know, yeah, you could, I had offers to direct more stuff, but I didn't follow through. All I'm saying is, you know, that did not have to happen. But I'm very happy that 30 years later that I got to finish it. I don't think that's something that happens to people. I think that's a rare thing. And like I said, even if there's no market for it, and if it just, it has been accepted into the Avignon Film Festival, where they gave a big biography of me. In France.
International Film Festival.
Right. And then they put a big bio of me, including the Zeff Report.
Yes, yesterday.
Yeah. So that's out there for everyone to see. They can go to the Zeff Report from there and they can get mad or whatever.
They included the Zeff Report.
Yeah. A lot of times they shy away because they're trying to be politically correct in the community of, because the community is decidedly, quote, liberal. But what does that really mean? What does it mean in the end?
I was glad to see David Mamet speaking out against the DEI.
The DEI is a mind control, it's a MKUltra type concept that basically they're trying to force totalitarianism on people, and they're using DEI to do it. And I think it's disgusting that people can't, but people, you know, these people that subject themselves to that, they can't see the forest for the trees. They don't know it's totalitarian. They go, oh, it's the right thing to do. It's fair. You know, they're just dumb. And there's nothing we can do to fix that. They're dumb people because why? They're not educated. Why? Because education was taken from the people here in the United States. There's no education. They're busy. Any book that would, you know, really make an impact, they're banning. And they go, look, it's the right-wing bigots. They're banning books. And now they're all banning the books. You know, if Orwell, Catcher in the Rye, and some of these other books are banned in some circles, it's only because those books make you think. And thinking is a good thing. You know, my opinion of the world at this point is I don't agree with corrupting, you know, corrupting oneself in order to provide for your family. I wouldn't categorize it like that. Some people say, without the corruption, I wouldn't be able to live. Then my answer to that is, but to a certain extent, whether you like it or not, the division of Satan in our society is nothing. The demarcation line of corruption is everything. And we are all corrupt, all of us. And I wish we could see that so that we would be able to kind of be in the same universe together. You know, I mean, you know, we're all corrupt and we fall short of the glory of God. We're all sinners. We need to be forgiven. We need redemption. We need help. But what would you rather have us do? Put a bullet in our head when things are down and everyone's abandoned us and they go, you know, and then, or do the thing that they hate, which is you learn about Jesus. You learn about the fact that you're not abandoned. You learn that you are loved and you learn that you have been taken care of. And you learn that, you know, you're not alone. And you learn to care for others and others care for you. And they're out there. And, you know, the other side would have you say, gee, if I want love, if I want success, I better join them. Or I won't get anything. And, you know, you would get something. It's called slavery. Well, that's about it for today. I think I've...
Tell them about the Podbean, the move.
Podbean, okay, so I'm looking at Podbean as a way to have, there's like a live chat there. There's a phone number you can call in on. I don't have that yet.
Also, Seth, today they've changed the format and you can no longer download from Spreaker.
Okay.
I mean, that's just one more reason to get the hell out of the Spreaker, but it's going to take a little time for us to get everything set up.
Well, I hate the fact that they do this kind of warfare behind your back.
Yeah.
And they don't just confront you to your face.
Just today, a couple people said, hey, there's no download button. You can't download anymore. So hopefully on Podbean, they'll keep the download. But we're not sure what day he's going to start over there. We were going to maybe try today, but we don't quite have it set up yet. But there, the archive is still there on Podbean.
Right.
So hopefully we can transition over there. And I've left the link in the chat today.
Okay, so we may be heading to Podbean. I've been there. I have archives there that go back to 2004. And I don't know how you access those. You got to go into there's like the front of the page, which is zephdaniel.podbean.com. And then there's like another page that's in there, that's Z Media Worldwide, but they're all part of the same website. And I think you can get some of the archives that way. It used to be I had a button where you go on the left and you tap it on and it'll show you all the archives. But everybody's gotten so weird now with the censorship that they really don't want you to access those archives. And some of those are, you know, probably, you could probably find a gem or two from 2010 or 2008 or 2007. You could definitely find predictive stuff back then that came true, that came to fruition. What we try to do here is really one thing. Make people understand that, you know, this is their world. This is your world. And God made you. And those who have fidelity with God, you know, who made the world and everything in it, you know, are not the degraded, forgotten ones. These are the ones up front. And that transition, to make that in your head, that you're the beloved. And this idea that they want to call people homophobes and haters and all that. Of course, it's mischaracterized because, you know, they don't want any talk at all about anything. And so, you know, even a conversation about a movie you just saw, that would be taboo with him. Everything's taboo unless you ask permission from, I don't know, God knows who, Satan. So, you know, what we're doing is basically trying to live in this world, you know, and we're in it and out of it, and, you know, to understand better our position in the world so that we can weather the storms when they come in, you know, so that we can understand, because you're not going to change your stripes. You're not going to just suddenly go back and start, you know, up the ladder of initiation, right? You're not gonna do that. You're gonna keep on going. And so you're gonna take the flack, you know, from people that I remember in, like, well, it was in high school prom. This one guy was bird dogging me, calling me a loser, calling me this, calling me that. I go, where's your jacket? You're not even wearing a jacket. This is a prom, you know. Yeah, long hair. When are you gonna get a haircut? You know, and really what they were saying is, you know, you've got to conform because we can't handle it if you don't. And the reason they can't handle it is because they're filled with guilt and shame, which is what propels the whole thing, which is why the cycle should be broken. But, you know, I personally am still traumatized from everything that's happened, including the recent hospital stays and the AMA, the medical establishment. Has completely, the cardiologist I just saw that said if you either take this medication or you're not good, you're not getting treatment here. So he kicked me out, you know, because I wouldn't take this medication and if you fall, you could bleed out. So can I think about that for a minute? Oh no, you take it, you don't ask questions. And, well, we'll learn more about that. Anyway, may this find you well. And I hope that you have a great day. And we'll see you next time.
1, 2, 3, clear. 4. Who are you?